a person wandering from one island to another, like some of the natives, known among their countrymen as Tabu Kanakers. In no respect does the author make pretensions to philosophic research. In a familiar way, he has merely described what he has seen. And if reflections are occasionally indulged in, they are spontaneous, and such as would very probably suggest themselves to the most casual observer. Introduction. In the summer of 1842, the author of this narrative, as a sailor before the mast, visited the Marquesas Islands in an American South Seaman. At the island of Nukuheva, he left his vessel, which afterwards sailed without him. Wandering in the interior, he came upon the valley of Taipei, inhabited by a primitive tribe of savages, from which valley a fellow sailor who accompanied him soon afterward effected his escape. The author, however, was detained in an indulgent captivity for about the space of 4 months, at the end of which period he escaped in a boat which visited the bay. This boat belonged to a vessel in need of men, which had recently touched at a neighboring harbor of the same island, where the captain had been informed of the author's detention in Taipei. Desirous of adding to his crew, he sailed round thither and hove to off the mouth of the bay. As the Taipees were considered hostile, the boat, manned by Tabu natives from the other harbor, was then sent in, with an interpreter at their head to procure the author's release. This was finally accomplished, though not without peril to all concerned. At the time of his escape, the author was suffering severely from lameness. The boat having gained the open sea, the ship appeared in the distance. Here, the present narrative opens. Chapter 1. My Reception Aboard. It was in the middle of a bright, tropical afternoon that we made good our escape from the bay. The vessel we sought lay with her main topsail aback about a league from the land, and was the only object that broke the broad expanse of the ocean. On approaching, she turned out to be a small, slatternly-looking craft, her hull and spars a dingy black, rigging all slack and bleached nearly white, and everything denoting an ill state of affairs aboard. The four boats hanging from her sides proclaimed her a whaler. Leaning carelessly over the bulwarks were the sailors, wild, haggard-looking fellows in Scotch caps and faded blue frocks, some of them with cheeks of a mottled bronze, to which sickness soon changes the rich berry brown of a seaman's complexion in the tropics. On the quarter-deck was one whom I took for the chief mate. He wore a broad-brimmed Panama hat, and his spyglass was leveled as we advanced. When we came alongside, a low cry ran fore and aft the deck, and everybody gazed at us with inquiring eyes. And well they might. To say nothing of the savage boat's crew, panting with excitement, all gesture and vociferation, my own appearance was calculated to excite curiosity. A robe of the native cloth was thrown over my shoulders, my hair and beard were uncut, and I betrayed other evidences of my recent adventure. Immediately on gaining the deck, they beset me on all sides with questions, the half of which I could not answer, so incessantly were they put. As an instance of the curious coincidences which often befall the sailor, I must here mention that two countenances before me were familiar. One was that of an old man-o-war's man, whose acquaintance I had made in Rio de Janeiro, at which place touched the ship in which I sailed from home. The other was a young man, whom, 4 years previous, I had frequently met in a sailor boarding house in Liverpool. I remembered parting with him at Prince's Dock Gates, in the midst of a swarm of police officers, truckmen, stevedores, beggars, and the like. And here we were again. Years had rolled by, many a league of ocean had been traversed, and we were thrown together under circumstances which almost made me doubt my own existence. But a few moments passed ere I was sent for into the cabin by the captain. He was quite a young man, pale and slender, more like a sickly counting-house clerk than a bluff sea captain. Bidding me be seated, he ordered the steward to hand me a glass of pisco. In the state I was, this stimulus almost made me delirious, so that of all I then went on to relate concerning my residence on the island, I can scarcely remember a word. After this, I was asked whether I desired to ship. Of course I said yes, that is, if he would allow me to enter for one cruise, engaging to discharge me if I so desired.